Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Retro Resistance Podcast. I'm Mark1976, and today I'm joined by...
Asperger's Gamer 64.
Hi there, you alright mate?
I'm fine, how about you?
I'm not too bad. I've been looking forward to doing this one for a while, to be totally honest, because I was on about it to Tony, and Tony's not really played these games that much.
No, he hasn't.
No, and he said, oh, Will can complete the first one, and he says, really? I said, yeah, he's got a video, I've seen it. So today we're going to be looking at Metal Gear franchise, but first I'd like to just ask, as we always do, what you've been up to lately, mate?
Well, I just recently finished Dark Souls on the PlayStation 3.
Oh yeah, I don't think I've played that myself.
Yeah, really, because I could have completed sooner, but when I said before, my other PlayStation 3 laser was bust, so I had to buy a new one so I can finish it.
Yeah, that's a joke when they break down. My one got that yellow light of death, and I was like proper annoyed then.
Mm. And also, James Rolfe, when he first bought the PlayStation 3, he's brought down in 5 minutes.
Bloody hell. As I say, mine lasted nearly 3 years, which I suppose was pretty good. I know people's that haven't even lasted a month, like the new slim one. No. But you just get defective ones, I suppose.
Mm. My old one, my big fat one, lasted about 5 years.
That's pretty good, then. Was that a PS2 backwards compatible?
No, it was just the PS1. That's one thing I do hate about the PlayStation. There's one model that does both, and there's one model that just does one. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, because I was trying to get the one that was backwards compatible when I got my PlayStation 3, but they didn't have it, and the only place I could get it if I got it off eBay or something. Mm. So I ended up just getting, I think it was the 60 gig or 40, I'm not 100% sure, it's been that long ago.
I haven't really tested PlayStation 2 game on my slim one yet.
No, well, when I tried it on that one I used to have, it just came up not compatible.
Oh.
It would run the PS1 games really good, though. You can make them load a lot quicker and everything.
Mm.
And then after that broke down, I got my 360. In fact, we're going on to modern day stuff, aren't we?
It's about a 360, mine broke as well.
Yeah, well, I've had three of them break, to be totally honest. And then I got the slim one, because I only got it mainly for the Splatter R3, mate. Oh, what's the other game we got? Super Street Fighter 4, because originally that weren't coming out on the PC, and it was already on the 360, and I couldn't afford another PlayStation 3, because I just bought my computer, spent like quite a lot of money on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the 360 for about 150 or something, the slim one. Yeah, that's been good so far. In fact, some of the games we're going to talk about later, I've actually got on the 360.
Oh yeah, the HD collection.
Yeah. Originally I was slating that, saying, you know, it's fucking stupid that it doesn't include the first one, but
mm-hmm.
Then I found out on the PlayStation 3 it has got the first one, but only
PlayStation Network.
Yeah, that's right, which is a bit lame, so they haven't really HD'd it up or anything.
No.
Yeah, I think it's because of Nintendo, because they've done the Twin Snakes Metal Gear Solid, and Nintendo are funny about letting other people have their games.
Oh, that's very true, that.
So that's why I think that never came out. Myself, I haven't really been up to that much since the last time we've done the podcast. Mainly, I think, playing on the 360. On Mortal Kombat and, you know, a lot of Mortal Kombat games, which I think we may do a podcast on in the future, I'm not 100% sure.
Oh yeah, we are, aren't we?
Yeah, because there's mixed opinions with that, because a lot of people do rate that higher than Street Fighter.
Yeah, they kind of do. I like them both. I'm not a hardcore fan of both franchises, but I do enjoy playing them.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I mean, I've got every Mortal Kombat game apart from Mortal Kombat 4, and all the Street Fighter games as well, so as much as I might not like Mortal Kombat as much, I have got all of them. I don't think it's a bad game.
No, it's not.
Anyway, this week we're going to be talking about the Metal Gear franchise.
Yes. The Metal Gear Solid series created by Hideo Kojima.
Yeah, I'm glad you can pronounce his name properly. I was going to say Hideo Kojima.
To tell you the truth, I cannot pronounce Japanese names to save my life. Trust me, I cannot pronounce anything to save my life, to tell you the truth. I can't.
Because I know Tony's really good at it, because I often get him, you know, completely wrong.
Mm. I can't. Well, I've heard his name so many times, I could easily pronounce that anyway. So the games we will be looking over will be the two MXX versions, Metal Gear 1 and Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake. Now, we may or may not look over Snake's Revenge, because, well, technically, it was... To a lot of people have actually got... It was only released on the NES, but a lot of people consider that as a sequel. We may or may not talk about that, so we do apologise if we don't. And also we're going to talk about the difference. Metal Gear Solid and the difference between the MSX version and the NES version of Metal Gear 1.
Yeah, that's right. And I believe there's a Commodore 64 version of Metal Gear as well.
Yeah, there is a Commodore 64 version and a MS-DOS version as well.
Ah, right. I've seen a Commodore one. I've never actually played it. Mm. But apparently, because I looked it up earlier, according to Lemon 64, it's shite.
But so obviously, the Commodore 64 version is just a port of the NES.
Yeah, that's right. And because it's an American program game, the usual thing, because usually what I find with the Commodore, when the Americans do the games for it, they don't use the SID chip very well.
Do they? What is a SID chip anyway?
That's what produces the sound on the Commodore.
Ah.
So, you know, in the UK games have usually got superb music and that, and the American ports, they're just the bare minimum that can be on it, basically. It's like, they're not as much talent with a...
I don't think the Commodore was very popular in America, I don't think.
I think it was... Well, I'm not 100% sure, you know. I know the Amiga was more popular.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was more the NES, because the NES saved all
that. Yeah, because obviously the Nintendo saved the American market.
Yeah, and the Commodore was just there in the background, because I don't think they had... Well, I know for a fact, and the home computers didn't do nowhere near as well as what they did over here.
Oh, no. Because we weren't affected by the video game crash anyway.
No, but I think if it would have carried on in America, sooner or later it would have affected us as well.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going off topic here. So
yeah, totally. I'm terrible for doing that.
I am as well. I'm pretty terrible at that. So the first game we're going to look at is Metal Gear, which was first released on the MXX2 in 1987. Some of you may or may not heard about the MXX. The MXX was a computer, home computer in the 80s, and it was very popular in Japan. It did make a release over here in the UK, but didn't get really much of a foothold because of, you know, there's an expected the Commodore 64 and the Amstrad CPC dominated the market. But it was quite popular in most European countries like Netherlands, Brazil, Spain, China, I believe, and all the other countries. Personally, I've never actually seen one, but I never actually owned one, so it's...
Myself, I've actually... Because, you know, I did the 8-bit wars, and so does Andy.
Yeah, you did. You mentioned about that on that
segment. We always get that as a comment, and that fucking irritates me. Oh, what about the MSX version? And, well, I know one guy that had one, this guy called Stephen Barnett, and a lot of the games on it, the Konami games were on cartridge.
Yeah.
And are pretty good, but a lot of the, you know, like your Mastertronic games and the games that are made in this country, like I think Double Dragon 2, believe it or not, it's got a port of Renegade 3 as well. They're all Spectrum ports, pretty much identical to the Spectrum versions.
They do look alike, don't they? Because they're both 8-bit machines, and they do crack. Actually, I have seen a snapshot of Manic Miner, and I saw one of the MSX version. They're pretty much identical.
Yeah, it can do some decent games.
Yeah, I really am impressed with the MXX, but it's a real pity it never really got a foothold.
No, that's it. And the first Metal Gear game, believe it or not, I'd never played the MSX version until I got the HD collection.
It was also released on the Metal Gear 3 subsist as well. It was released on that.
Yeah, I never knew that until I was looking on your videos, because I actually asked you as a comment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I got it from. That's where I actually first played it. That's the reason why I wanted to buy it, because yeah, them two games on it, that's the reason why I wanted it.
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, same with like Metal Gear Solid 2. I've never seen that other edition of it. Is it Substance or Subsistence?
Subsistence.
Yeah, I'd never seen that to buy on the PlayStation 2.
I've got it.
Only at stupid money. You know, when it got pre-owned and that, it never went down in value. So as much as me and my brother were fans of the Metal Gear games, I weren't paying like 45-odd quid for a second-hand game. So that's why we never got them. But the HD collection are them subsistence versions, apparently.
But apparently, reasonably enough, the MXX2 version did actually make a European release in English.
Oh, right, I never knew that.
Well, apparently, the MXX version, the English version, edited and removed a major of the transceiver messages, like, you know, including the Big Boss one, and a few of Schneider's calls, and mostly regarding Grey Fox's cell and Steve's lines as well. So pretty much it was like it really translated 100% properly.
That's pretty good.
At least it did get a European release, an English release, but it wasn't a very good port anyway. So anyway, the Metal Gear game was actually developed by Hideo Kojima. He came up with the stealth-based gameplay with the MXS2 hardware limitations in mind, because since the MXS can't really handle converted action games due to because the fact the screen would flicker where there's too many animated objects on the screen when there was present. But also, if you play some MXS2 games, it doesn't really scroll. Because I have played like Contra on the MXS2 and it doesn't really scroll.
That's right.
It goes to different, like flickers to another screen, flickers to another screen.
It's like if you see it when it does do the scrolling, it does it really jerkily, like on Salamandra or Nemesis, Gradius.
Kind of does, because I played some MXS games, I was playing like Ultraman on it, and it looked kind of like jerky and like sluggish and all like that.
Yeah, so you can see why it was developed that way, so it'd just be like single screens and then go to another screen.
Yeah.
Because it works then.
That wasn't. But Kojima decided to make a game where the player had to avoid contact with the enemy instead of fighting, which I think is pretty good, because back in the norm, back in the 80s, you get a gun and shoot the enemies, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, it's just about like Commando or games like that, where you just murder everyone. Like.
But he got this idea from the Great Escape film, you know, with Steve McQueen in, and he originally wanted to make the game about POWs escaping from the enemy's base. But however, Kojima's co-workers advised him to make a game basically solely avoiding the enemies would work by itself, and that the player would need to have something to defend themselves. So basically, when you started the game, you only had nothing but a packet of cigarettes. You had to scrounge for weapons and ammo as well, and food as well, to regenerate your health.
Yeah, that's something I was going to get to, actually. The character Solid Snake is one of the characters that actually smokes in a video game.
Yeah, basically, if you use the cigarettes, you lose your health, so...
Yeah, but it does... I don't know about the first Metal Gear, actually, but in like later ones, you can see where the laser sort of beams are if you've got the cigarettes on.
Mm, because you use it to find where the lasers are. If you didn't have, like, the night vision goggles, you could just use that.
Yeah, that's right. And that's something, actually, I wanted to say today on the show. I've actually given up smoking today.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh, bloody hell, it's been a nightmare already. And I haven't even lasted a day yet.
It is very nice. Going cold turkey doesn't sound delicious as it sounds.
No, well, I cheated, sort of. I got these patches, but they don't actually seem to do anything.
It'll take the time anyway. So when the player gets discovered by an enemy, you have to like try to escape from them and try and like hide from them before the enemies get you. But basically, he took the influence from the premises of the Guns of Navarone.
Oh, right. I never knew that.
Yeah, it does. Most of these games are based probably for inspiration from movies anyway. So
yeah, because the guy Solid Snake sort of reminds me of Snake Plissken.
Yeah, because he's based on Snake Plissken from Escape from New York.
Yeah, that's right. And
I've never seen Escape from New York, because he uses the name in Metal Gear Sons of Liberty.
Yeah, that's right. When he meets Raiden.
Yeah, he says Plissken. He uses it.
It's definitely worth watching, because I'd never seen neither of them, Escape from New York or Escape from
Raleigh. I've never seen them.
Years later, when I got Metal Gear Solid, that's the only reason I got them two films. Just to see, you know, what it was, because I've read in the magazine about Metal Gear Solid. Anyway, we'll get on Metal Gear Solid later. I'm sort of jumping the gun a bit.
So basically, the storyline of Metal Gear is, while with the last words being Metal Gear, Foxhound's best agent, Gray Fox, now he'll be quite interesting when we go later on to the series, goes missing in action after 3 days. So Commander Big Boss sends in the rookie Solid Snake deep in the South African to infiltrate the enemy base fortress Outer Heaven to carry out two objectives: rescue Grey Fox and destroy the bipedal tank Metal Gear. Now, Metal Gear, the thing, is a bipedal metal tank that can be capable of firing nuclear missiles anywhere off the planet. Basically, it can walk on two legs. Pretty much back then, like in the 80s, seeing a robot walk.
It sort of reminded me of kind of like a massive Ed-209, if you like, if you've seen Robocop.
Oh, yeah.
But on a much bigger scale.
Yeah. Well, this one fires nuclear missiles.
Exactly, a lot more dangerous. And yeah. I don't know whether it's the same as Ed-209.
Probably today, no one can build like one of them today. Come on, seriously.
Nah, they can't.
No, come on.
Ed-209 can't even go downstairs, can he? Exactly. When he gets near stairs, he's fucked.
Like the Daleks when they were fucked when they're near the stairs.
Yeah, and then they start flying now, don't they?
Yeah.
Doctor. Evolution.
We beat you that time. The scares, whatever I'm talking about. So basically, the game, you play as Solid Snake, and you have to like infiltrate the outer heaven things. Basically, while you like I said before, you have to like avoid the enemies. That's basically when the stealth genre comes in. Basically, you have to avoid the enemies. You're not supposed to be there, but you can sometimes you can go behind the enemies and punch them a few times to get rid of them. But when an enemy appears, when an enemy shows on the screen, it'll put like an exclamation point. Now there's two versions of this. There's one of them when only the enemies come on the screen and you just punch them and they'll disappear. But when you see two exclamation marks, more enemies will just come on the screen until eventually you run away from them, because they'll just keep coming and coming and coming.
Yeah, and they just chase after you until you're not dead, basically.
Yep. Also, during the gameplay, so you can also rescue some POW people as well, because every time you rescue them, your rank will go up. Now, the rank system is used for give you more health and also compatible with ammunition, because when your rank goes up, you can hold more ammo, so basically you can really stock yourself up in supplies and ammo as well.
Yeah, and you have to collect rations, because that's how you get your energy back up.
Yeah, you have to find rations, go into trucks, find rations, use them to charge your health up. So, yeah.
It's definitely worth checking out if you've never played the first game.
It is really worth checking out if you're a Metal Gear fan, because don't pass this one up, because it is a really solid game.
But I'd ignore like the NES port or the Commodore 64 version.
No, we're going to talk about the NES port in a minute as well, because there is a massive changes in that version.
Oh, I think it was mainly changed for the American market.
No, they changed it because I don't really know how they changed it, because it was very different, because it was very, very different for the MSX version and the NES version. The NES version was released about half a year later when the MSX version was released, because basically Hideo Kojima was not directly involved with the NES ports, which is kind of a bit weird, I don't know why, but it was handled by a different Konami team at Tokyo. As a result, the developers made a few compromises from the original MSX version. So here's basically a few examples. Basically, some of you might remember that in the beginning of MXX version, Snake goes across in water. It sneaks in waterway. But on the NES version, he parachutes from the aeroplane. Now, what I can't understand is, Snake's supposed to be a stealth-sneaking soldier. Why the hell is he parachuting from an aeroplane?
And another thing I don't understand with the first one on the NES, you see another few parachutes after you as well.
Yeah. That's very true, that. Maybe they got captured, maybe they were... Actually, that is a very good point. The funny thing is, in the Commodore 64 version, you only see Snake jumping off the plane.
Yeah, that's right. They must have thought it through afterwards and thought, this doesn't make any sense.
Must have really thought it through.
Because I think that was even... The Commodore version was done completely different by an American team when they ported it to that. It's the same company that converted a few of the Castlevania and that on a Commodore, which again was a complete mess. Amazing Entertainment or something. I can't actually find it on here. That's it, goes.
So they've added was like a new maze was added, and also two of the bosses, the Hind D and Metal Gear itself, were replaced by differences. Now, one thing that I really hated about the NES version, it did not have Metal Gear in it, because in the MSX version you can actually fight Metal Gear. Unfortunately, on the NES version, you just had a big computer. Well, funny thing is, it had the same pattern. You had to destroy Metal Gear, like put one, like go left, right, left, right, left, right, put C4s on his legs. But it's quite very similar to do it on the computer in the NES version, which is very weird.
Yeah, so maybe they were going to do that, and then they just decided not to.
What's the point of calling the game Metal Gear?
Yeah, when you don't even fight it.
It's only appears in front of the box art, and that's about it. So come on, cheap.
Which has got like a picture of Kyle Reese sort of out of Terminator.
Yeah, actually, that's where he got the box art. He's actually from Kyle Reese from the first Terminator film.
Which I think's the best one myself. I know a lot of people disagree and think the second one.
I like all three of them.
Yeah, I still haven't seen the fourth one.
No, I have. It's alright. It's an alternative take anyway. I don't know.
And then a couple of years later, Naughty Naughty, they done Metal Gear 2 Solid Snow.
Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake was released in 1990 for the MXX2. Now, Kojima didn't really originally wanted to make any, didn't make any plans for the Metal Gear sequel due to because of the lackluster sales of the game had in Japan. But it was only after when he became acquainted with one of the game designers behind Snake's Revenge. Now, I'm going to talk briefly about Snake's Revenge for a second. Snake's Revenge was a sequel to the NES version of Metal Gear, because Metal Gear, surprisingly, the NES version of Metal Gear actually sold really, really well. Surprisingly.
Yeah, and before I actually looked it up and got that HD collection, I thought the NES version was the original.
I know that now,
and the NES version is proper inferior, like you said earlier.
It's just not a very good... Well, a lot of people do like the NES version, a lot of people like the MSX version. Well, that's their opinion. They like the NES version, they like the NES version. You like the MSX.
To be totally honest, Snake's Revenge, you can sort of tell that's not a proper official sequel.
No, it wasn't really done by Kojima, it was done by a different team.
And he comes in... With that, there is another couple of goals with him, isn't there? There's one that's sort of like Rambo, and there's this coloured fella. That's the way I can say it without it being offensive, I suppose.
Yeah, an African-American. Yeah, but also, quite surprisingly, it had, like, a cordette-like receiver, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It was quite very weird, because... but this thing, instead of just seeing Snake's mugshot, you just saw the person's mugshot who's talking to you.
And I like the bit... I like it on that, how it sort of is darkness and it lights up on certain bits of the levels, which makes it quite hard to see where people are hiding.
Mm.
But it's nowhere near as good as Metal Gear 2.
No, I have a soft spot for Snake's Revenge. I have a real soft spot for it. Because it was the only NES game you could actually fight in Metal Gear, which, unlike in the NES version of Metal Gear, you couldn't.
No, that's right. I've never actually got that far on Snake's Revenge, to be totally honest. I don't think I've even completed the first bit of it.
Yeah, I finished it. I was just curious. Right, anyway, back to Solid Snake. Now, like I said before, due to the blockbuster sales of Metal Gear, he met one of the designers of Snake's Revenge on the train, and he said, I enjoyed the first Metal Gear game, blah, 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 and Kojima said, oh, I think I'll make a sequel sculpt to the MSX version. So, basically, Snake must infiltrate Zanzibar Land, which is a heavy defense territory located in Central Asia, to rescue the kidnapped scientists and destroy the revised Metal Gear D, which is the new Metal Gear that they built. Now, basically, to compare Metal Gear to Metal Gear 2, it's really a massive improvement over the original, because now you can be able to crawl underneath trucks and under boxes as well, like, you know, gaps.
Yeah.
And also, the enemies have a vision of 45 degrees, so basically the enemies are much harder to avoid. Trying to make him, they're reasonable, but, you know, a bit harder to avoid, because they can turn their heads left and right to see diagonally and move from one screen to the other. This is why they added in a radar, so you can see where the guards are.
And it's a lot more difficult to play as well, I found, when I've played it.
Yeah, I found it extremely difficult, because there are a lot of cryptic stuff in the Solid Snake. There's one scene when you're going across this swamp, and you have to find this path, because, say, a truck can go through this swamp, but you have to find the solid parts to make your way to this thing where this doctor's been held. And that's really annoying, because all trial and error, you've got to, like, follow this path, and if you miss it, you go sinking, you have to get back up onto the plank. It's just, just annoying.
Yeah, I've never got that far on it. I've got further on the first one, actually. Have you got a gameplay video of that?
No, I haven't.
No?
I tried to do a walkthrough of it, but it just made it too much complicated for me to do. I'm not being, like, cruel, anyway. I'm not being... You know, I'm crying over it, but it's still a bit too complicated. It takes a lot of thinking to do Metal Gear Solid Snake.
Yeah, look, it is, from what I've played, really difficult. Mm. As I say, both those two games are games that I can't really talk about that much, because while I've played them, the only time I've actually seen the first Metal Gear completed, like I said earlier, was on your playthrough.
Yeah.
Because I can't actually do it myself. Yeah. But in 1998, because Hideo Kojima didn't release any Metal Gear games for the Super NES, or
no, he didn't.
the Mega Drive, because he wanted to do one that was in 3D, and neither of them systems could actually do it properly. So in 1998, Hideo Kojima released Metal Gear Solid.
For the PlayStation.
There's a PC port as well.
Yes, there is a PC port of the game as well.
Personally think the PlayStation port is better, but yeah, I know the PC's got better textures.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, that Metal Gear Solid is the same sort of game with Solid Snake, but it's actually in total in proper 3D this time.
Yeah, in full-fledged 3D. But surprisingly, the year it's set in, it's actually 2005.
Is it? I never knew that.
Because the problem is that Metal Gear 1 was set in 1995, and Metal Gear 2 is set in 99, I believe.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it is. Something like that. So they're pretty much far ahead, aren't they? Anyway.
That's one of the games I first got it, and we didn't have no walkthroughs or anything on the internet. Me and my friend both got it at the same time, and we played it loads, and we actually got stuck on the ninja.
Oh.
And I only beat the ninja by accident, I did, because when you shoot him, you can't actually damage the ninja.
Because he gets his sword out.
Yeah, and then I accidentally pressed the button and hit him, and then I noticed it was actually taking damage down.
Yeah, you had to keep punching him, because he says so he remembers that punch.
Yeah, because, I've actually totally forgot to talk about the story. It's on Shadow Moses Island, and terrorists have taken over. And Snake comes out of retirement. Well, they sort of force him out of retirement to go there and basically stop the terrorists and rescue the hostages.
Because of Colonel Campbell.
Colonel Campbell, yeah, that's right.
We forgot to mention that Colonel Campbell's first appearance was in Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake.
Yeah, that's right.
This is actually his second appearance in the Metal Gear game. Basically, if anyone's seen Rambo, you know the Colonel.
He's sort of like him.
Yeah, he's basically based on him, because for some reason in the original version of the MXX version of Solid Snake, his portrait was just like him.
Oh, right, didn't know that.
Because actually, I forgot to mention this as well, that on the original MSX version, most of the mugshots, the portraits of Solid Snake, I think he was based on Mel Gibson or Sylvester Stallone. One was based on Danny DeVito. I think one was based on Harvey Weinstein as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you look it up, they'll show you the original mugshots for them.
But it's a really good game. It's got like a lot of separate bosses. Revolver Ocelot.
Yep.
Vulcan Raven.
Yeah, Vulcan Raven. Psycho Mantis.
Grey Fox. You don't know it's Grey Fox, so that'll ruin that if I give that away.
Doesn't mean we can call him Grey Fox as well.
Yeah, the ninja is Grey Fox, yeah. Oh, what's the other one? Sniper Wolf. And Liquid Snake, who's basically Solid Snake's brother, who's a clone of Big Boss Snake.
Yeah, well, they're actually worth... Well, this is going to be a bit of a spoiler, so I'm going to explain this a bit thoroughly. Solid Snake, Liquid Snake, and Solidus Snake were clones of Big Boss. Well, the reason why they were after the clone remains of Big Boss is because they got this thing inside and make it age really, really fast.
The Fox die.
Yeah, they're also trying to prevent Fox die as well, so that's why they wanted the remains, so they could find a cure to stop it. Or that's what, as far as I know.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And believe it or not, I was playing Metal Gear Solid last night and a bit this morning, but I thought a lot of the because it's got massive full motion, well, not full motion video, it uses the actual game's graphics to do the cutscenes.
Yeah, because it felt like more like you're watching a film sometimes, weren't you?
Yeah, sometimes.
And the way the camera angles and the camera moves, it's pretty good how he did it.
Which is really impressive at the time when you first play it.
Oh, yeah.
See how old it came out, because originally, I've seen like a video of it when it was in development ages ago. I think I got it with a PlayStation magazine.
Mm.
And they did actually render all the bits, but they didn't think it looked as good as actually having the proper game graphics and that running it.
Mm-hmm.
Which obviously, you know, that fits together seamlessly, whereas if you see it all rendered and that, and especially the quality, how they used to render, you know, those sort of CGI movies and that in the 90s, it didn't look anywhere near as good.
No.
It was a classic game.
Yeah, and also what they improved on was the stealth genre they improved on, because now the first radar didn't appear until Solid Snake, but now they've vastly improved the radar, because now the enemies have a cold vision. If the enemies see you in the cold vision, they'll say, "Hey, what was that?" And they'll chase whoever's there.
Yeah, and you can also like hide and hit something and get their attention, and then run around the back of them and then grab them from the back and then snap the necks like that.
Yeah. That was introduced in Solid Snake as well.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, you punch the wall and he said, what was that? And that really does help a little bit.
Because some of the guards are really stupid, aren't
they? They're quite intelligent. They are very intelligent. I won't call them stupid, they're very intelligent, because if you have some footprints, they'll follow the footprints. If you hear like a noise, they'll just go and find out what it is.
Yeah, but on one bit, when you get in the box, you can hide in the box and he goes, ooh, a box, and then walks off.
Oh, just a box. I forgot to mention that. I keep forgetting to mention this stuff. Also, the box, the cardboard box, is so infamous in the Metal Gear universe, because it made its first appearance in the MSX Metal Gear game. You used it to avoid the cameras. Because it was strange. It's just like just a guy just using a box to avoid enemies. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it.
You wouldn't expect to use a cardboard box just to avoid the enemies. It's brilliant. Because also one unique feature as well, if you want to get back like to the beginning, you can also get different types of boxes. If you go into the truck, it goes back to the first part of the game and other parts as well.
Yeah, because the trucks move, don't they? Yeah. Same as they did, I think, is that on the first Metal Gear?
Yeah, I think one did.
I know they're doing the NES version of it. That's how you can get to different parts, by going in the trucks, and then the truck will start moving.
Yeah,
and you get out. And
speaking about the NES version, everybody remembers the infamous typos. Oh god! It's like the first minute, the first scene you go and you see this guy. He says, "Oh no, I asleep."
Was it feel asleep? Yeah.
I feel asleep. Oh, the truck has started to move. Really bad typos in that game, but in pretty much any room is the NES version, pretty much those typos in the game. Well, my reason why I did like I'm going to say this now. When I first played Metal Gear, I was so thick I didn't know what to do. There was this scene where you have to contact Meryl, and you have to look behind the CD case. But I thought what it meant was look behind the CD case of the item you got, but you had to look behind your CD case.
Yeah, actually on the box, yeah.
That was one thing I really did like about Metal Gear. It broke the fourth wall quite a lot.
In fact, I can tell you what the frequency is because...
Yeah, I know the frequency.
It's 10:40:15 because I've actually got the case in my hand now.
Yeah, that's what it is. When I first rented it from Bloodbuster... Because you know when you get to Bloodbuster, I remember when before Bloodbuster gave you the game, the real cartridge, they used to give you like these other ones, you know.
And they used to come in like different cases, didn't they? Like they're sort of rental cases.
Yeah, like them, but I couldn't really read because they had the instructions behind it, but I couldn't really read what that number was. I didn't know what it meant by buying the CD case. I meant the CD case that person gave you or your CD case.
That's one of the things, if you didn't have the actual case for it, say if you got it pre-owned or something.
Because I had a copy version, so I didn't know.
Yeah, I was going to say that. When the first time I played it, because I had the American version, it was actually a pirate. And I just found out the code by going through every single combination it could be.
Yeah, you could do that. I could have got
it. It took ages, though.
But then you know now, anyway. But there was unique thing about Metal Gear that really stood out. It was the Psycho Mantis fight. If you had Castlevania, Symphony of the Night, in your memory card, he'll say, "You like Castlevania, don't you?"
Yeah, that's right. He reads off the cards. And the way you beat him is changing the joystick parts.
Yeah, to player one to player two. But if when I didn't discover that until Colonel Campbell says, "I got it," switch to controller port one to controller port two. And then when you do that, he can't read your mind.
No, that's pretty good.
That's one thing I liked about it, because it had some uniqueness, didn't it?
It makes the controller vibrate as well. Yeah. He says, "I'll show you a test of my strength."
Yeah, and it shakes.
And makes it move across the room, don't it? If he says, "Put it on the floor," and he makes it vibrate so it literally moves.
Yeah.
Which I thought at the time was, well, there was nothing really like it.
No, it wasn't really. And breaking the fourth wall was just awesome as well. And he just knew. It was just brilliant, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I do rate that still to this day really highly. I'd say it's one of the best PlayStation games.
It is, because the way that the stealth part of the game was fantastic, the way they used the fourth wall was really good. Also, if you had the camera and take photo of different places of the players, you can also find ghosts of the developers.
Yeah, I found that out a few years later, actually.
Mm.
So I didn't know that at the time.
No, they're just ghosts of developers, like a little Easter egg.
That's pretty good.
I think that is good. That's what I really miss about like video games today: Easter eggs, little things, just like Easter eggs, little tiny things, like, you know, like break the fourth wall or something, or all like that. It's just,
yeah, that are hidden in the game.
Yeah, they just really know after everything has to be legit and all like that.
Because I do think they, they don't come up with so many original things nowadays with the games they do.
No.
They just sort of like do things that they know will sell, basically. And that in a way, does, there's no creativity like there used to be. Anyway, now we'll go on to, I don't know whether we can talk about the next one, because I don't think it's actually old enough.
Well, it was released in 2001, so can we get away with it?
Yeah, it's 1 year ain't going to hurt then. And it's one of the reasons I bought a PlayStation 2, believe it or not.
I actually bought it. I didn't really buy Metal Gear 2 until really much, much later.
No, I got it, the one that's packed in with a console. And that's the reason that sold the PlayStation 2 to me, Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, I think it's called.
Yeah, Sons of Liberty, which is basically a direct sequel to Metal Gear Solid. which everybody was disliked after Raiden.
Yeah, because it starts off superb. You go onto this ship, this hangar, and you have to take pictures of the new Metal Gear, yeah, don't Metal you? Gear and send them back to Articon.
Yeah, Articon.
Who's the guy you rescue from the first one.
Yes, he does wet himself.
How, I can't remember what his second name is. Because Solid Snake's real name's Dave, ain't it? And that's a reference to 2001 so Hal, Space Odyssey.
Hal and Dave.
Hal and Dave, yeah.
Hal Emmerich. That's his real name, Hal Emmerich. Yeah. Also, I want to say about Metal Gear Solid as well. You know when you actually fight against Sniper Wolf and you have to get a sniper rifle, you have to go all the way back to the hangar?
Is that a PS2, the sniper rifle or something? It's called a PS something.
Yeah, something like that. And you had to go all the way back to the hangar, and that really annoyed me a lot, that did. And I think it annoyed a lot of people as well.
And the bits with the cards as well, where you have to go outside to cool one of them down.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to get one really warm.
Yeah, to get
one. And that's quite irritating as well.
But it was quite unique. I kind of liked that.
Yeah, it was good fun. As I say, it's one of the games that I had, and I literally had to play it all the way through till I completed it.
I completed it about 4 or 5 times. Because it was that good.
Yeah. I've done it loads of times. I've got so far through it again now on my PS2.
Mm.
But I have actually completed recently, because I've got the HD collection, Metal Gear Solid 2, 3, which is Snake Eater, which we can't talk about.
Basically, it was set in the 60s, but we can't really talk about it.
No, but that's a good sequel as well.
It's a prequel.
Well, yeah, prequel.
Prequel, whatever.
Yeah.
So let's get back to. We do apologise for going off topic here because we just. I don't know. This podcast is
everything. Don't worry, we'll be able to edit this and get it like perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try editing it this time as well. I'm terrible at like skipping from one to the other.
So anyway, back to Sons of Liberty. So basically, it's after the events of Metal Gear 1 that. Like I said before, you have to take a photo of Metal Gear Ray. But unfortunately, Ocelot has made his appearance in there as well.
Yeah, who's now got the hand of
Liquid Snake.
Liquid Snake on him, and the hand has took over him, and it thinks he's Liquid Snake.
Yeah. But actually, they did release... Actually, there is a game on the Metal Gear Solid Mobile, which is basically set between Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear Solid 2.
Oh, I've never seen
it. So basically, it tells you how he got attached his arm back on, you see.
I didn't know that. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. And also, they were able to. Everybody thought Solid Snake was dead, but he wasn't, because Liquid and Solid were identical, so they were able to use Liquid's body.
Yeah, because he's actually the weaker one out of the brothers, isn't he, Solid?
Mm.
Because at the end of... When you complete Metal Gear Solid, it's got Ocelot talking to the president, and he's like, who's Solid the Snake, I think.
Yeah, he was the president at the time.
And he says, the weaker one won like you said. Mm. Meaning Solid Snake. Well, because obviously, that's a really good fight at the end of Metal Gear Solid, when you're on top of the Metal Gear.
Oh, yeah.
And then after you've done that, you go to escape, and you're chasing him. He's chasing you, and you shoot him. You're sort of controlling the gun on the Jeep. And I thought that was really good, at the time.
Yeah. So, and after when he sets the dynamites off for the thing sinks and he escapes with Ray.
Yeah, and then it goes back all wrong downhill from there on.
Yeah, because I think the reason why he created Raiden is because he's trying to get girls into the Metal Gear franchise, trying to make a pretty boy, the pretty boy of the group. That's what Raiden was.
Yeah, and he's nowhere near as good, is he? Like a pansy, sort of.
Yeah. And what else? They tried to make him so badass in Metal Gear 4 and, was it Renegade?
Yeah, and what's the one that's in development now?
That's the one in there, Metal Gear... Metal Gear Solid Rising.
Yeah, or Rising Revenge.
Rising Revenge. That's it, sorry, that's where I got. And that's so trying to make him more badass, didn't they?
Yeah, and you can't tell, because apparently that's being developed in America now.
Yeah, by
Kojima's not doing anything to it or something.
I think he just wanted to stop doing Metal Gear. I think after Metal Gear 4, he wanted, just to do something else.
That's a shame, really, because But then again, I suppose it's better to go out with a decent game than to just drag something out and then eventually like make it so it's no good anymore, which a lot of companies do.
Yeah.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly. Call of Duty. So if someone turned around to me and said Call of Duty revolutionised stealth genre, I'll turn around to you, bullshit. Metal Gear was doing stealth genre while you were sucking your mother's tit.
Well, Metal Gear, like, a lot of games ripped that off, didn't they? With the stealth. Even the Getaway, on levels on that where you've got to sneak around, which I know don't work nowhere near as good. And Splinter Cell.
Hitman as well. Yeah. I think ever since like Metal Gear came out, it sort of like kickstarted the stealth genre.
And Siphon Filter, that's a proper rip-off of Metal Gear, sort of. Mm. Nowhere near as good, though.
I don't play any of these other games. I play Hitman.
Hitman's pretty good. Mm. Yeah, that's, that is a good game. But I think we better wrap this show up.
It was pretty quick, haven't we?
Because, obviously, we can't really talk about Snake Eater.
We can't talk about Snake Eater. We can't talk about Ghost Babylon, because that's... was it one for the Game Boy? There was a Metal Gear Solid for the Game Boy, but it's not. I don't really want to drag it on. We mostly like canon games, most of the canon ones.
Yeah. Who's your favourite character in the Metal Gear franchise?
Favourite character in the Metal Gear franchise. That is pretty much a tough one. That's a real tough hit. I have to really go with Grey Fox.
Yeah. I'd say Grey Fox is good.
Yeah,
it's on the I can't think what it's called, the virtual reality mission pack.
Yeah,
players
in. Yeah, you can play as him. Now the reason why he remembers that punch because he actually fought. The reason why he became a cyborg, or a ninja cyborg, because at the end of Metal Gear 2, Solid Snake, that before him and Snake fought in a minefield.
Ah, right.
So they were punching each other in a minefield. And then, Grey Fox lost. It's a bit of spoiler. Yeah, because if you actually, surprisingly, with Metal Gear Solid, if you go into like it gives you like backstory of Metal Gear Solid. If you go into these options, you find like both backstories on them.
Yeah, and it gives you like, a really big like sort of intro where they sort of break into Snake's place and tell him to go on a mission and that. Mm. And it's got him, you know, and you can flip between the cameras and that, you know, like out of the. On security cameras, which I thought was really good. And change of view so you can see him close up and...
Yeah.
Because he cuts his hair, don't he? Because he's got the same sort of hair as his brother.
Yeah, because...
Liquid Snake.
Yeah, because they both are clones anyway. He's actually a blonde, if you're looking...
Yeah, that's right.
But he's a grey hair, he's a brown hair, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. They should have, if anything, why didn't he try and pass himself off as him?
Oh, they'll probably know anyway.
Yeah, well, he's got like... totally different accent as well, hasn't he? Because he's got like Liquid Snake's got this really over the top stereotypical British accent.
Yeah.
Whereas Solid Snake's American.
Yeah. So obviously he wouldn't get away with that, would he?
No.
But the funny thing is, the voice of Solid Snake's actually done by David Hayter.
Yeah, I've never actually. I don't know what he's actually done before, but he's really good in that.
Yeah, he's done a few films. What else he's done? He's been in. I can't remember. I've never really seen it. I've only seen like I've never really seen any of his films. Really, I know he's done a lot of voice acting. He also did the voice of Wolverine in one X-Men cartoon as well.
Oh, never heard of
that. Yeah, I think he did all sorts as well. He was also in Eternal Darkness as well.
Yeah. Because I would have said my favourite character was Solid Snake, but my little brother really likes Revolver Ocelot.
Yeah, Revolver Ocelot, he's like, he doesn't stay dead. He was pretty much all, he was there, or he was more of a guy behind the scenes, weren't he?
Yeah.
Kind of a mystique character. It means he knows what's going on. That's what I'm really... Well, he's actually a little spoiler about... Revolver Ocelot. He's actually the son of the boss from Metal Gear 3.
Yeah, that's right.
And also his father was actually the Sorrow.
Yeah.
So you don't... I know it's a big spoiler, but... I'm not gonna, that's how far we're going to spoil. Because at the end of Metal Gear 3, if you press like in the R button, you'll see him in the window.
I like that video you've done as well where it's got the time paradox.
Oh, time paradox.
That made me laugh. Where Raiden's trying to make himself more popular, isn't it?
Yeah, trying to kill Big Boss 1-0.
Because when I was playing the HD collection, I think I said this when I was talking to you last night on when we were talking on Skype.
Yeah.
I did actually get to that bit on Metal Gear Solid 3 where you knock Revolver Ocelot out when he's younger.
Yeah, then.
When you're playing as Big Boss, who's Snake's dad, and I shot him in the head, and it comes up time paradox.
Yeah, because you're not allowed to shoot him.
Yeah, because I thought if you do that, then he won't do any of the shit in the future.
No, he won't. But he's still going to. Wait a minute, I prevented a future. But, oh, well. That's what I like
about Kojima, because
he knows Kojima must have knew. Anyway, about also one unique thing I liked about Metal Gear Solid as well. If you know the torture scene,
yeah.
If you used a turbo pad, Ocelot knows.
Yeah, he does, because that's how I cheated it on the thingy. It's like Konami put that in on I think the first game they put that in before that is Track and Field on the PlayStation, because it comes up this player is cheating.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, because so they could detect it with their
games. Yeah, because they could, and also say you're cheating, aren't you? If you have a turbo,
yeah,
pad,
that's
I
what...
know. Because that's just what I liked about it, the fourth wall, it broke it, made it so unique.
Yeah, and it's never been done, I don't think, as well since, really. Mm.
Well, they only give them Metal Gear games.
Yeah, only the same series, yeah.
Mm.
I think we're better around the shop, mate.
Don't really mess. So let's thank... Who do you want to thank, anyway?
Oh, I want to thank yourself for doing the show, mate. It's the first one we've recorded together.
Probably this may not be the best.
No, well, it just takes practice
makes perfect. So we have to practice. We did our best. Because there are more Metal Gear dedicated podcasts out there, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So when we talk about Metal Gear all the time, we just talk about it because me and Mal play the games.
Yeah.
Which we're fans of the series.
Yeah, and like I said before, Tony didn't know enough about it, so he said that's why he couldn't do one.
Yes, that's why.
Else we would have had him on as well.
Yeah. So anyway, were you going to thank?
Swiney, Andy, yourself, Blim, Tony, Potty Boy, Glenn, I don't know how I nearly forgot him, and Scoopy as well from YouTube. You know, everyone from Retro Asylum and people from YouTube as well.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everybody from YouTube and Andy, you, Tony and Potty Boy and Blim and everybody as well, and the Retro Asylum as well.
Yeah, and just like to mention the other podcasts, Gamer Dads and Odd Pod and Arcade and Retro.
Yeah, I've got to stop listening to those because I've been so lazy. I've been so busy with Dark Souls. I've just been so lazy with my videos lately.
Yeah, I've started doing a few and then I just don't get around to finishing them.
No.
Because I've got one that I was working on. I was going to do one about Double Dragon and then I couldn't be asked to finish it. And then I was going to do one on Resident Evil, you know, what's censored out of that, and then I just couldn't be bothered to finish that. And I'm still working on the Konami 8-Bit Wars, but I've had a few problems with certain games on the Spectrum and Amstrad that I haven't even been able to do the first bloody event on them, so that's gone on hold for a bit.
I'm planning to do some more, like, MXX reviews, because I do have a bit of soft spot for the MXX computer.
Yeah, as I say, it's less known here in the UK.
It is very less known, but it's very popular in other European countries. But if anyone's interested in playing MXX, you can also download the Blue MXX, which is a MXX emulator, which also has all from the MXX to the MXX to R Turbo, all of them.
And the Contra on that's really good as well.
Yeah, and also there's a new game I want to recommend as well. This was also done by Kojima as well, Snatcher.
Ah, right, I don't think I've seen it.
No, it's a cyberpunk adventure, which I'm not going to spoil it. It's one done by Kojima after he did Metal Gear. Because you have like a Metal Gear type partner. It's pretty good. Yeah, it's more like a detective game. Once you have to, like, you know, one of those games you have to, like, look at stuff and, you know.
Yeah.
It's like one of them type of games. But I would highly recommend that as well to anybody who's a fan of Kojima. That is a really good game. But it's a pity it only made a release over here on the Mega CD.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, but it has been released on the Mega CD, but it was also released on the MXX, PlayStation. But the funny thing is, right, I'm going to brief about this. The PlayStation version is censored, but the rest of them are not censored.
See, that's the thing I don't like about censorship. It fucking irritates me when they cut things out of things. I think the only thing I've ever seen that's been better censored than uncensored is, you ever seen the film No Retreat, No Surrender?
No, I haven't.
Well, the censored version, yeah, is the one that was in the UK for years, and that's on DVD, it's got the uncensored one, and all the bits they censored out, basically, are complete shite, and it's no wonder they cut them out of it. But
so it's all yeah, so it's all like with the Bruce Lee films. The mostly reason why they don't cut that because since that most of the nunchuck scenes.
Yeah, the nunchuckers. Yeah, and in America, because I got the American DVDs of the Bruce Lees, and they cut out stupid things in America. But all the violence, you know, the nunchuckers and everything else is in. But him eating soup, say for instance, they cut that out. You know, they can't have that in the film, and it makes no sense.
Yeah, well, that's censorship for you. But what's the point of having a rating system anyway?
Well, I mean, when I first seen the Bruce Lee films, well, I was only 6 or 7, something like that, when they first come out on video. That's how long ago it was, and my dad didn't let me watch pretty much anything anyway. Within reason, obviously, like something like I Spit on Your Grave or something like that, he wouldn't let me watch. But he let me watch, you know, Evil Dead and well, Exorcist and loads of horror films.
The earliest film I'd watched was actually Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah.
You know that scene when Adam got his head cut off.
Yeah.
I just laughed when he ran away. He ran over, trying to run up the stairs and trying to lock the door when his head's cut off. Banging into it.
That's a pretty good film, Beetlejuice.
It is a fantastic.
That's like what I was going to say about the guy who directed it. That's one of the most original films he's come up with.
Yeah. But he's also, I would actually love to see his Frankenweed.
Yeah.
I want to see that. I haven't seen his latest one, Dark Shadows. I haven't seen that one yet.
No, I haven't seen that neither. Has that got Johnny Depp in it again?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Right, I'm going to say this now. Every time you see a Tim Burton, I guarantee you will see Johnny Depp in it most of the time.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10. I think Beetlejuice is one of the few that hasn't got him in it.
No. No, he hasn't. Well, obviously he wasn't a popular actor back then, weren't he?
No, he's in. I think the first thing he's ever in is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, because I was on about that. Because my ex-girlfriend was like really into him and that, like, really liked him. But she wouldn't watch Nightmare on Elm Street because it's too violent. And I was like, don't be stupid.
watch the remake.
I don't think as much to that, to be totally fair. It's alright, it's quite good. And that's how, if you've got Mortal Kombat 9,
yeah,
the remake of Freddy Krueger's in it. But I prefer the Robert
Englund. Yeah, I prefer Robert Englund. If it had Robert Englund, I would have bought it.
But in the DVD magazines, I remember when the special edition of Nightmare on Elm Street came out, they were saying, oh, it's basically a not particularly talented actor with a pepperoni pizza on his face. And I thought that was out of order, because I thought Robert Englund
is a fantastic actor. Whoever said that, can shut up. No, Robert Englund is a fantastic actor. Don't even call him a worst actor ever lived. He is the best. Because, look, he did Freddy Krueger all the way from the first one to Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, and I thought Freddy vs. Jason was pretty good.
It was it? Oh, anyway, this is the end of the show, and I hope you enjoyed listening to it. I have been the Asperger's Gamer 64.
And I've been Mount 1976, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye for me.